Hi, I am Coach Emilio. Welcome to the Escuela del Sur. If you are a sports coach, do you want to find more freedom in your decisions and opportunities and find solutions in the day-to-day work of your profession? This podcast is for you. I will tell you from my experience as a coach in Dubai and interviews with coaches around the world, the habits, techniques, valuable background, and tools that can guide you and give you more results with less effort. I invite you to give your coaching career more possibilities and confidence in the competitive world of sport. Listen to our episode to get ideas to optimize your professional profile with continuous improvement, so you can get more results, improving your quality of life along with your profession and your passion. We start.
That for me is one of the problems. Is education is how we educate our coaches to provide them with those tools, and that has to be a continual education. It cannot be just things of 1 year and that's it. It's enough. No, we have to do it over and over and over. I think the other part that why we are dealing with this is that sometimes as a coaches, we deal with a lot of pressure and there is nobody taking care of that. We talk about a lot recently about the mental health for the athletes. What about the mental health for the coaches? Who take care of the coaches? Who come to the gym and say, hey, I think you're tired. You look exhausted. Nobody. And sometimes coaches, we keep going and keep going and keep going. I remember when I was working in Costa Rica, my mentality was there is no day off. And there was no day off. We have holidays. We train double session that day. We have anything, like we have a meet the next weekend, or we train from Monday to Sunday. And there was no day off. And you know what? That is not healthy for the athletes, but it's not healthy for the coaches either. Because we are human beings and nobody take care of our mental health. I think that's one of the biggest problems that we have. We have all this multidisciplinary teamwork that we have the nutritionist, we have the psychology, we have the physical conditioning and all of that, but all of them are focused on the athletes. And what about the coaches? Is one athlete, just one athlete, it takes a lot out of the coaches. And we don't work with just one athlete. Sometimes we work with 12, 15, 20 at one time. And yes, they deal with their own frustration. But we as a coaches deal with their own frustration, our own frustration, their parents' frustration, their gym frustration. And we go home and we have to deal with that by ourselves. Or we put that in our family. That is not fair either. But there is nobody that really say something for the coaches. The parents, they are the first one that they are your friends when the kid is winning. But they hate you the next day when the kid lost a meet. So, and they feel like we are machines, just working, and there is nothing else. So I think if we start taking care of our mental health and get a little bit more educated, that will help to change the mentality and the abusive system That's is still there. I don't think that is gone. I think it's still there.
Well, I'm thinking about that of the coaches working 7 days a week. Is your message, your WhatsApp emails, calls, admin work, the travel to outside, make the registration, check the physio, so many things, and how you say, and so many coaches on the podcast mentioned that the recognition, the retributions. Let's talk about the technical things because you are an expert, you are a judge, artistic gymnastic coach also. What is your technical ideas about floor, for example? How is about the choreography? How is about the acrobatic things? How you look to the gymnastic in this way, like a coach?
Hey, I think on floor that right now is one of the most interesting events because we have a lot of changes in the last couple of cycles with the cut-off points and the way that floor is being judged. I think floor is the basic, the foundation for, at least in women's artistic gymnastics, it is the foundation for every other event. But bars, that is a lot different. But if you create a good foundation on floor, vault is going to be easy. Beam is going to be easy. And I think the problem is that we forget about that and we try to rush. We try to run too fast doing the skills. We have to create that foundation. For example, when we are working with the little ones, we need to focus on teaching them how to do a proper cartwheel, where they need to be looking at, what they need to do with their hips, what their feet need to look like, how they place their hands. Why? Because that cartwheel in the future is going to turn into a rondo. The same rondo that we use to do a rondo back handspring on the floor, the same rondo that we use to do a rondo dismount on the beam, and the same rondo that we'd use on the vault to do a Yurchenko. But then when we forget about this, we go to beam and we want to fix the rondo on the beam for to teach a kid a double back. No, the kid is going to be afraid because the rondo is not correct. So this is the part that I think we need to work on. And at the same time, because floor is a unique event, and you have the choreography, you have to work at the same time. There is a balance between working the acro and working the choreography. And sometimes I feel like the coaches, we don't want to put that much energy on that part because, oh, you play the music and she will dance. No, it's not that simple. If you think about how many years of training the ballerinas has to perform in stage the way that they do it, we have to train the same way our athletes to perform the acrobatic part and the dance part. We have to spend the same time with them. And that's the part that for me sometimes is a little bit crazy because it's like we want the gymnast to perform split leap when they are 5, 6 years old, but they don't know how to point their foot on straight their leg or to do a kick with straight leg, but we are expecting them to do a split leap. No, we need to build that basis. We need to build that. And that's something that for me in ballet, they do a lot. They work the first couple of years is working with the kids on that, how they point their feet, how they do attempt you to point their foot, brush the floor, feel that they is going from the heel to the toes to point their foot and all of that. But now for us is they need to do a split leap tomorrow. So let's do a split leap. And we need to have that balance on how to build the basics and how incorporate the dance part on that. And at the same time, sometimes I think that is one of the biggest problems. You see athletes around the world that they have amazing acro skills on floor. The dance is really poor, and the leaps and jumps are like for an athlete that did a double double on floor and she's doing a switch leg with bent legs. Like, come on, like a switch leg should be perfect at that moment. If you're capable of doing a double double, a switch leg is nothing. But I think the coaches are so worried about we need to do acro, we need to do acro, we need to do acro that we forget about the other parts and we don't incorporate the other parts into the training. And when they are in the younger stage, yes, you need to work on those basics, in the acro basics, but they don't need to do a double double by the age of 10. But by the age of 10, they can be a good dancer. They can perform beautiful leaps and jumps. And then by the age of 15, you can maybe work on a full in and you don't have to worry about the other part because they already know how to dance, how to perform, and have the leaps. I think the coach has been trying to make the changes and make it a little bit more artistry. We have seen a little bit more gymnasts with a better dance. And I think the new generation of athletes around the world, at least from countries like Italy, on that part, I think you can see the change from those countries and trying to implement the artistry part better. Including, like, if you look at the floor routine from Jessica Kadyrova, that she was the world champion in 2022 from UK. She did three tumbling passes, a lot of dance, and a lot of leaps and jumps. Three tumbling passes. Before, if you want to be a world champion, you have to do four tumbling passes and the hardest tumbling passes. I think now people are a little bit more focused on good execution, but there is still a lot of old school that we need to do more to be the best. And that sometimes is not the right thing to do because some point you need to understand that sometimes when you do more, you get more deductions. So is a balance, is a balance. But it's a balance that has to start at the beginning. You cannot expect to put a child or a kid that has never taken a dance class to perform a floor routine and looks beautiful. There are few athletes that they have that quality on there. For the rest of the people, they have to work on that. And sometimes we don't put that many hours on that. And sometimes also it's really hard in our countries because there is not enough money to pay for one coach. And now you're gonna have enough money to pay for the dance teacher and you're gonna pay for the choreographer and you're gonna pay for this. It's a lot. So there are a lot of things that take part into that. But I really think that focusing on the basics at the young stage when the kids are little, basics on floor is important to know where they are looking, what they are looking for, what is the position of their head, what is the position of their arms, what they should be looking at. That kind of things are really important. The good quality at that moment and will build great things later.
So I have a specific question for you. Everyone have a different recipes. Everyone builds from different way. Everyone have opinions about gymnastics. I'm sure some coaches with a lot of experience hear this podcast, but also new generation of coaches. Explain me all the why, the how, and when about the cartwheel. Position of hands, where you need to look. When you teach a talent gymnast looking for a future with vision, why you make sure you need to put in this class?
First thing is when I start teaching a skill, no matter what, first, which skill is, I think, what is this skill leading me into? So if this cartwheel is going to be turning into a side aerial on beam, this cartwheel is going to be turning into a rondo for the future. So what I need to work on to make those in the future stronger. and easy for them. So for me and the car wheel, if I'm going to teach a car wheel for the kids, I'm going to teach the hands placement. The hands placement, like the round off, a T. And then the second, the head plane placement. So she should be looking under her armpit to the way that she's going to land on. She should be looking at the other side under her armpit to see her feet when her feet hit the floor. Why? Because in that way, she knows when she performs a roundoff, she can see her feet hitting the floor on the roundoff to do a back handspring. She can see the floor, the being on the roundoff to do her dismount. So that kind of things. And then the turning on her hips when she's upside down. That's really important for me too. So you have these three parts, the head, the hands placement. So then now that for me is the most important part. Then I will start working on drills for every single part of that, teaching the car wheel. And I will focus on first part, the hands placement. I will work on the hands placement and I will do stations for the hands placement. Putting an X on the floor, teaching her how to put the hands, landing on the block or landing on their knees. Then I will work on the head placement. So I will mark an X and the other side of the floor, and every time that she'll do perform the cartwheel, she will be looking at that X. And then the hips, the rotation of their hips, I will work on that. In my Instagram, there are a few videos. Now, I don't know where they are, but I know there are a few videos on like working some of those drills. I don't know for cartwheel, but there are some drills for like hips and basics for bars and that kind of thing that I used to do a few years ago. Just because I know that when you start coaching, it's so hard that you go into the YouTube or you go on the social media and there are so many drills and you don't know where to start. So there are a few videos that I have for some skills that I did. But that's the way that I work. I'm gonna teach a skill, I'm gonna break that down, break for the first part of the skill, the second part of the skill, and the finish of the skill. And then I will work on drills to create that drill. And then I will focus on a time frame for this part, for the second part, and for the last part. And then I will put it together, and then voila.
We want to make a special announcement. We have new sponsors from FVQ's 3D Gym, an app developed from Wales and France, where you can find three apps, 3D Gym Woman, 3D Gym Men, and Trampoline. All information is available on Instagram and also on the website fvcurves.com. We also want to thank eGymnastic from Germany by Flavio Vesi, where you can find all the information about their new educational platform learning, gymnastic courses for all the coaches around the world. Thank you very much.
I'm thinking how you look for the future, how you look for the progression, how you look for the next challenge to this girl, make it more easy.
Sometimes we want to look to see that car wheel, and that car wheel looks perfect with straight legs and beautiful amplitude. But how long is it going to take for that car wheel to turn into the next skill? And sometimes I think that's where, as a coach, your expertise and your experience come into play. If I'm going to do this skill now, this way, how long is it going to take me to change that into the skill that I want to work on? It's like when you start working with your athletes on, I don't know, giants on bars, you teach them how to tap. But if you want to teach them at the catch-up, the tap is completely different than the regular giant. If you want to teach them a ginger, the tap is completely different. If you want to teach them a dismount, depending on the dismount, they have to tap in a different way. So you need to create and to work on those basics from the moment one. The athlete has to be able to know if I ask her and she's doing giants, okay, now tap behind the bar, now tap underneath the bar, now tap in front of the bar. And she needs to be able to make those changes because it's the only way that I can create that. So sometimes when you're working like those giants on a strap bar, okay, today we are gonna work, we're gonna do a set of 10 giants tapping underneath the bar. Then the next set of 10 giants is gonna be tapping behind the bars. And sometimes the athlete is like, oh, he's crazy. Why he wants me to do this? But then when you start working the Takachev and you ask her, okay, now you need to tap early. And she was like, oh, now I get it. Now I get it. But if you teach one thing in one way and then you want to teach the Takachev, and when this athlete is 13, 14, and then you need to start teaching the tap again from scratch, it's going to take more time, way more time. I think it comes with your experience and what you want to build. Sometimes, I don't know, for me right now, it's a little bit easier. Like when I get an athlete, it's like, oh, I think this athlete will be easy to work on a double layout this month. And then I don't spend too much time doing full ins or full outs because I know the double layout will be something that she can perform pretty easy. But terms or yes. So I think it will come with experience. And even for any experienced coach, sometimes you need to understand that there are multiple techniques and not just one. Because sometimes we want our athlete to performs one skill in this technique, and yeah, it's taking too much time. Sometimes maybe that's not the technique or that's not the skill for the athlete.
You develop some system for look your gymnasts when they develop bars or floor, like videos?
Used to take a lot of videos with my phone, and I show them the videos, and I explain them why this is what you're doing, this is what your head should be doing, this is what you're looking for, this is what you're tapping. And something that for me is really, it has been really helpful is usually I ask them, what do you feel? What do you feel? Because from outside, biomechanically and technique wise, you can see something. But what they feel is also important to fix the problem. And sometimes we forget about that and we keep giving them corrections that sometimes they don't understand.
Let's go to forward to this big skill, handstand. What mean for you the word handstand?
Handstand is the most important skill in gymnastics. It's the basic skill in gymnastics. For me, I will take a lot of time to develop a good handstand because that skill will be performed in pretty much every single skill in gymnastics. Is the correct shape, knowing where when you are in a handstand, that your armpits are open, of your shoulders, creating that round chest position, that hollow position, that happens on your chest and not on your belly. Because sometimes when you ask the athlete that, okay, do a hollow position, what they do is they try to pike on their hips to round their hips. Yes, and then the round happens on their chest. The hollow happens on their chest. So it is also a skill that you need to work a lot of, put a lot of work into that because every single routine on board has a Kip Kasensen. If you do a back handspring, at some point in the back handspring, there is a handstand. The same when you're doing a layout on floor. When you're upside down, it's a handstand position. So it's a skill that you need to take time to develop. There are a lot of, like, show the athlete the position that you want to do. Something that I do a lot with the athletes when I teach the handstand is I make them lay down on the floor with their hands against the wall. They go with their face going facing the roof or facing up, hands against the wall, and I show them the hollow position, keeping their hips open, and show them the hollow position and just hold that position on the floor, laying on the floor, and hold that position. And then I made them turn around and I asked them to keep their hips on the floor, but try to put their chest up so their chest will not touch the floor, but their armpits hit the floor. And that position. And then when they can do that position like that on the floor, I will make them do a handstand against the wall. But if they cannot hold that position, make them do a handstand against the wall is going to make them do a run.
So it's the ABC, the alphabet. Without the ABC, we cannot talk this language because ladies are around everything. And bolt, the contact, the takeoff and bolt is the
Yes.
handstand. And floor is the same when you try to keep your body straight for don't have deduction in every turn or acrobatic skills. And beam, yes, and beam is all the word. You told me in Spanish, it's your favorite apparatus.
Yes, it is. I love to work on beam because I feel beam is an event that you have to pay attention to the little details. And sometimes we want to fix problems on beams with a lot of corrections, and sometimes it's the lack of balance, or sometimes our athletes are falling off the beam because they don't know how to place their feet on the beam, or they don't know where they have to be putting pressure with their foot on the beam. And we say, oh, your hip is this, your hip is that. And sometimes they are lifting their big toes off the beam and it's done. You're gonna go off no matter what. And I can give you a lot of corrections for that, but teaching them how to place their foot on the beam, how to put that pressure on the beam, how to keep their hips square, how to place their hands, how to look at the beam. That kind of thing, I love that. I
So
love those
also
details.
you have a background in ballet.
Yes. I did ballet when I was, I think, around 15 to like 21 or something like that. My former coach told us to do that we need to make gymnastic a little bit more stylish and to make the lines a little bit better. So he recommended to start working on ballet. So I started taking classes and I thought at that moment that, oh, this will be boring or too easy, but it wasn't. It was really demanding. It was really hard. You have to think about everything because at the moment that you're moving your feet, your body has to be so tense, perfect. And I love it. It was great. So I love it. And my wife is a dancer too, her whole life. She has been dancing her whole life, so yeah.
She compliments you for advices and floor and beam.
Yes, we talk about that every single time. We have a couple of projects that we want to work with, create a couple of camps to start working on technique and also incorporate the dance part into that with her help.
So now we go to the topic of judge. You receive a special letter. From Lausanne, I think, or not from Switzerland.
Switzerland,
Yeah,
yes.
what? Tell me about that.
Oh well, it was a few weeks ago. My federation received a letter from the FIG telling them that I was selected to be a judge, as a judge in the 2024 Paris Olympic Games. So yeah, it was one of the most amazing news that I've received. I worked so hard for that, but I didn't expect that. I prefer to not expect anything and get it than create a lot of expectation and then it doesn't happen. So yeah, I'm gonna be judging the Olympic Games next year.
So amazing. And also you will go with friends and some people were with you a long time ago.
Yes, I have. It is crazy. From Latin America, we have an amazing group of judges participating in these Olympic Games. All of them has been working pretty much their entire life for this. Well, I got the opportunity to be there with some of my best friends. Esteban Camacho from Costa Rica, Jazaira Cabrera from Puerto Rico. She is the women's technical president from the PAGU. Carlos Sanchez from Venezuela. He lives here in Miami. So it is amazing that first I'm going to be judging the Olympic Games. And the most important part is that I'm going to be there with this group of people that I love so much. So it makes it even more special.
Amazing. So from Escuela del Sur, we give you the best wishes for this experience. Everyone want to have this letter and the email, but this is not free. I can imagine this is from a long way of gymnastics. It's a lot years there. You are working in gymnastics for so many gymnasts and community in the gymnastic community. So Arturo, I hope the best for you, huh? Enjoy send us photos from Paris. Maybe you will find Flavio. I don't know if Flavio going there from Germany is close to go to Paris, but yes, everyone will look in what happened with you in this next challenge. So the best for you. And now we go into the end of the episode, and we have this important question. What is your advice from the coaches? What is your advice to the gymnast?
My advice for the coaches is don't run. I think that's the most important part. Think on the future, but don't put your expectations on the future. Work the now, work on the basics, build that future now. Be patient. Allow yourself to make mistakes and learn from those mistakes. I think we are so afraid to be judged from anybody that we don't want to make mistakes. Allow yourself to make mistakes. Allow yourself to learn from those mistakes. And remember, we are doing gymnastic. We are here to coaching gymnastic because we choose this. We chose to be a coach. This is our decision, and we are doing it because we love this. So don't run. And you're good enough. Whatever you're doing, you're good enough. And for the athletes, is love what you do. When you love what you're doing, it make it really easy. There are gonna be days that are not gonna be that easy, but at the end, you will always understand the why. And love what you do. Love what you do. Don't live under the expectation of anybody. You are doing gymnastics because you want to do it. And it's because of you that we are coaching. And it's because of you as an athlete that your parents are going to the meets. Without you, there is no gymnastics.
Such a phrase. This is a quote, a huge quote. Is for you, is gymnastics for the gymnast. So this is the bigger thing I hear in all the interview. It's so powerful. It's so powerful what you say, Arturo. I don't know if you have the mention for what you say, because it's nothing there if it's the kid is not there. It's not club, it's not federation, it's not competitions, it's just the kids. If they are, we are.
Yes, it's
Powerful.
for them. It's for them.
I want to tell you thank you for this, all this knowledge for the coaches, because this is not for me. This is for all the new generation of coaches. Everyone start like you, everyone start like Gerson, everyone start like Flavio. And I can imagine so many coaches around the world, maybe gymnasts also hear this. And they think, oh, maybe I am not too wrong. I do my best. I try my best. So this message is for them. Be patient, don't run. And I want to tell you thank you, Arturo. Everyone, if hear this last episode, you have the other episode in the beginning. We will keep the details of Instagram for Arturo. Wanna follow your career like a judge in this next Olympic Games. So from Escuela del Sur, we tell you thank you for all this knowledge.
Thank you for the invitation. It has been an honor for me to be part of this.
Thank you so much, Arturo. So, guys, you can hear this in YouTube and LinkedIn, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify, all the episode. If you practice English and if you're Latin American, you can hear also this episode. And we have also the interview in Spanish in YouTube. And so we say goodbye in this interview. Thank you so much, Arturo, and see you around.
My pleasure.
Bye-bye.
And well, the episode has come to an amazing end. Thank you so much for listening, and we hope to see you next time on the podcast for Coaches of the World, Escuela del Sur. Don't forget to subscribe, give us a 5-star rating, and check out all the episodes available on Apple Podcast, Spotify, Google Podcast, LinkedIn, and YouTube as Escuela del Sur. See you next time!